a good time. Put a smile on your face, yeah. KB Cam and Elation Radio. Even brighten your day and help you through the night. Bring you good music. KB Cam and Elation Radio. And here's your host.
And now it's time for our Faithful Financial Moments with Sister Sharon Richard.
This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. It is a new year, 2022. If you have not begun fulfilling your tithing commitment, let me remind you of this. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 and 10, God says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have robbed you? In tithes and offerings. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house." We have all heard these scriptures many times, and yet so many profess to love God but fail to be obedient to this scripture. The reasoning that many people offer about why they are not tithing tends to fall into a few categories. Number one, they are not comfortable with how the church spends the funds taken in. Number two, they are waiting until they get their bills under control before they start tithing. The problem with these reasons is that God is not in either of these explanations. How can we take God out of something that belongs to him in the first place? If you are not comfortable with how your church spends the funds collected, you should inquire of your church leaders for information on how monies are used. Remember, in order for churches to survive, they must be able to pay a ministerial and support staff and to maintain the ministries of the church as well as the upkeep of the church. Additionally, many churches provide other support which help to serve many of the needs of our local communities. Regardless of how the funds are spent, your responsibility is to be obedient to God, and his word is clear. Waiting until you get your bills under control implies that you are the head of your finances, when in fact, God must lead and guide you. God must be first. He does not promise that it will be easy, but if you seek him first and trust him, he will guide you on how to work through your financial difficulties. Psalms 32:8 tells us, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my loving eye on you. Simply put, tithing is not an option. I often suggest to people that are just starting to introduce tithing into their budgets to begin by just being consistent in their giving, perhaps giving the same amount every week for a while and building a plan which gradually increases that amount until they get to the 10%. Without question, God will see your heart and will help you to be successful. Start your year off right. Don't allow anything to stop you from being obedient in your tithing commitment. This is Sharon Richard with your Faithful Financing Moment. Up next, Nina Taylor with your Gospel News, followed by the Pastor's Corner with Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Apostle Vincent Smith, and company.
Hi, everybody. Happy New Year. I'm Nina Taylor, and this is your Gospel News. Tasha Cobb Leonard, a Georgia-based gospel singer, songwriter, and pastor who broke out in 2013 with the powerful Grammy Award-winning single, Break Every Chain. Her musical success continued over subsequent chart-topping releases like 2015's One Place Live, the 2017 collaborative project Heart Passion Pursuit, and 2020's Royalty Live at the Ryman, even as she continued her ministry work as a pastor in Atlanta. Growing up in Jessup, Georgia, she began her career leading worship at Jessup's New Life Ministries, the family church founded by her father. In 2006, she accepted a job with Pastor William H. Murphy III at his Dream Center Church in Atlanta and spent 3 years touring the U.S. as part of his musical ministry. In 2010, she launched her own solo career as a gospel artist with the album Smile, released independently on her own label. Tasha Cobb's career took off in 2013 when she signed with EMI Gospel and made her major label debut. The album Great topped the Billboard gospel charts and even crossed over to number 61 on the pop charts, while its lead single, Break Every Chain, became an even greater success and went on to earn a Grammy Award for Best Gospel Contemporary Christian Music Performance. 2 years later, she moved to Motown Gospel with the album One Place Live. This one, an even bigger success. It reached number one on the gospel charts and hit number 28 on the top 200. Born in Jonesboro, Arkansas, singer-songwriter Zach Williams led the Southern rock band Zach Williams and the Reformation before turning toward inspirational music in his solo career, scoring a Christian hit single with 2016's Chainbreaker, after capturing a live set in a Nashville prison, he delivered his sophomore solo album, Rescue Story, in 2019. Born in Pensacola, Florida, Zach Williams was raised in Jonesboro, Arkansas. In 2007, he formed Reformation. Over the next 5 years, they toured the South and, on occasion, Europe. They cut two independent albums, 2009's Electric Revival and 2011's A Southern Offering, before disbanding in 2012. After the breakup, Zach Williams turned to religion, becoming the worship leader of the Central Baptist Church in Jonesboro in 2014. He continued to work on music, now singing inspirational songs. In 2016, he signed with Providence Essential and released the album Chainbreaker, which became a Christian hit. After landing a major hit with 2001's platinum-selling album, I Can Only Imagine, Texas-based band Mercy Me became a staple with both the pop and Christian chart. With an impressive rock-based sound and diverse roots in rock, worship music, contemporary pop, dance, jazz, and R&B, the group formed widespread success with albums like 2004's Dove Award-winning Undone, Coming Up to Breathe, and 2010's the album Mr. Generous, Mr. Lovewell. Mercy Me signed with INO Records and made their major label debut with the album Almost There. Thanks to their Dove Award-winning single, I Can Only Imagine, the album topped the Christian charts, made the top 40 in the overall album charts, and eventually went platinum. It's 2022. Have you begun a beginning of the year workout regimen with the hopes of getting back in shape for the new year? Just remember, the longer your break, the more time you'll need to give yourself to come back. And whatever you do, don't rush it. Remember that exercise is physical stress, and too much too quickly can cause injury and really set you back. It's better to make small increments in progress, like lifting one or two more pounds or running 5 or 6 more minutes. Even if you don't get injured, jumping in whole hog can lead to serious injury, soreness, and uncomfortable recovery periods between workouts. Consult your doctor before starting any new fitness plan. Here's this week's top 10 gospel songs. Number 10, Dante Bo, Joyful. 9, Elevation Worship and Maverick City Music, Gyra. Damon Little, Stand Up, at number 8. 7, Kenny Lewis and One Voice, featuring Charles Jenkins, He's Been Good. 6, The Group Fire, Fix It. 5, Kalante Gavin, Great. 4, CeCe Winans, Believe For It. 3, Karima with Redeemer. Number 2, Jordan Armstrong, My God. And our new number 1 song comes from Doe. It's called Brighter. Well, that's your top 10 songs and your gospel news. Once again, Happy New Year to you. I'm Nina Taylor. Let's get back to more great gospel music on this great station. Hello, I'm Nina Taylor, your gospel news reporter, and you're listening to The Pastor's Corner with my friend, Elder Ernest Richard, on Elation Radio.
As you can hear, my good friend Nina Taylor, every Thursday night, right here on the Pastor's Corner, along with my wonderful, beautiful wife, First Lady Minister Sharon Richard. Well, Happy New Year to you, and also to you. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest B. Richard Jr. I am just so excited and happy to see each and every one of you here today. I bless God for you taking the time to come and be part of our podcast today. I'm in the beautiful city of Ellery, South Carolina. We are live, and I do want to welcome my audience that's listening to us right now. I didn't put my TikTok audience in just yet, but I'm about to put them in as I make my introductions for those who are here. But I do want to welcome a brand new room that I started not that long ago. The room is Clubhouse is the app, and I want to welcome those who have come on from Clubhouse to come and be with us. I was able to get another speaker so that if there's anybody from Clubhouse that wants to say something or share something that they may have heard or heard somebody say, I want to say welcome to Clubhouse. TikTok, I'll get to you in a few seconds. And those of you that are watching by any other social media that might be out there, I don't know exactly what's out there at the moment, but here, let's do this. Let's get the rest of the crew up on the stage and up on the podium and find out what's going on with everybody. Let's start with my brother from another mother who is always there with me, always has been with me ever since I can remember. Come on and say hello, Apostle Irvin Whitlow. How are you, sir?
Oh, man, the Lord bless you real good. And by the way, Happy New Year. Thank God that we made it over. And I'm so excited about tonight. God bless.
Amen. Coming in the second spot, and I always say the best for last. He's up there in the city of New Haven. Been a friend of mine for well over 40 years. He is the chief apostle of Volume of the Book International Ministries. I want to take a moment to say hello to Chief Apostle Vincent L. Smith. The blessing of the Lord be upon you, sir. How are you?
M-I-C. A-U-R. Why? Because we're on the podcast. M-O-U-S-E. Earnest Club. Oh, I'm sorry. Hello, everybody. Praise the Lord. We're ready to get rocking and rolling.
Amen, amen, amen. Well, I know tonight, our dear friend, Pastor Anna Henderson, will not be with us tonight. She wasn't feeling that great. She called me a little earlier. We had prayer, and all I'm going to say to you, my brothers and sisters, is keep our dear sister in prayer as we move forward with that which God has given us. We seem to be missing one. I haven't forgotten her. All the way from the Peach State, I'm hoping Apostle Felicia Flight has come to join the party. Are you there, my dear sister? Okay. We don't have Apostle Felicia, but we're not going to worry much about it. Last, but by no means least, love this sister to life. Always happy to see her. Always a joy to be in her presence. And I tell you something, after I introduce her, she's had a chance to say something. All the way from St. Louis, Missouri, come on and let's say hello to Dr. Kimmy Kim Robinson.
Hello, everyone. Happy New Year. And Kimmy Kim is in the building.
I am so happy to have Kimmy Kim in the building because Kimmy Kim is going to open up for us. As a matter of fact, I'm going to have Apostle Whitlow open us up in prayer. I am about ready to bring our people up here. I'm going to open up TikTok, and I'm going to invite everybody to the stage. Let me get everybody up here. So those that want to have something to say will have opportunity. Now, on TikTok, and I want you to say hello because you're on a live podcast. I see my dear sister out of Chicago, Abronia. You want to say hello real quick?
Hello, everyone.
All right. Now I see Minister Montel. You're here today. God bless you, sir. Why don't you take a minute and say hello to everybody?
And God bless everybody.
All right, coming up, Lady Michelle, got to hear you say hello so that we all know you're here. Come on. Are you there?
Hello.
There she is. All right, welcome everybody to the 2022 edition of the Pastor's Corner. As I said, I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. I'm going to do it in this order. Apostle Smith, I'm going to ask that you would pray us in. Apostle Whitlow, there is a passage of scripture in Psalms that simply says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Can you find that scripture for me? And also the scripture that says, my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. We're going to talk about something to get this new year started. I mean, there's a lot of us have done our resolutions. We've made our declarations and made up our mind what we're going to do, where we're going to go. But I want to take us to the most important place we can ever, ever go, and that is to the Word of God. So without further ado, Apostle Smith, please pray us in, sir.
Father, tonight we thank you and we praise you. We honor and glorify you. As God, we delve into your word. And as we learn tonight, Father, we pray that you would minister unto us and let your glory of the word be revealed unto us tonight. Lord, we need to hear from you. Not how educated we are, even though education is helpful. Not how theological we are, even though at times theory is blessed for what we say. But Lord God, we need tonight your revelatory knowledge so that you can reveal unto us and you can undress this text, Lord God, and help us to say that will bless every life that is listening, every person involved. And Lord, most of all, we want you to save somebody's soul tonight. We're not on this line, God, for Brownie Point. But
nope.
We're on here tonight, God, to see those and say to those that Jesus is still the way. And
yes.
Lord God, we praise you and glorify you. Bless this host tonight for bringing us together that we may share with people everywhere that is on this podcast tonight. Lord God, we thank you, Jesus' name. And we say amen and amen.
Amen and amen. Okay, my dear brother, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, what do you have for me?
Our first scripture, Psalm 119:89, says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And then in Philippians 4, looking at verse 19, It tells us, "But my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus."
Hey.
Word of God for the people of God.
And let's be unto God. Now, let me share something with you as we get into tonight's discussion, and I pray that you would stay with us. And for friends from TikTok, it is open. We want to say welcome to my people from TikTok. So glad to have you as you come in. I need you to invite others to come in to be part of the TikTok podcast. Those of you that are on Clubhouse, if there are others you want to invite, I encourage you to go ahead and invite others to come in. Tonight, as you've heard those two passages of scriptures read, God kind of dropped something in my spirit, and I shared a little bit with Apostle Smith just a little earlier tonight. And what I want to use for a subject for tonight, don't know how long we're going to talk about it, but tonight we are going to discuss this. If God said it, that settles it. But there's a subtopic. The subtopic is I'm living proof. Now you're saying, well, why'd you go there? Well, here it is in a nutshell. And we know, you know, this time of year, everybody starts, people saved, unsaved, more or less, not necessarily saved. They make New Year's resolutions, and in the process of making their New Year's resolutions, they make promises that most of them will make every attempt there is to keep. They'll, you know, make declarations that they intend to try to walk by, and they'll come up with all kinds of things in the early part of what we call the New Year. I want to share something with you very quickly before I finish my dissertation. Many of us look at January 1st as the new year, and Apostle Smith and I were talking earlier. Now, if we were to go by the original Jewish calendar, the new year really doesn't start until March, April, the latter part of March, the early part of April. But because we are Western civilization, and just a real quick story so that people will know, we started celebrating January different occasions. A number one, there was a pagan god of the Roman ethnicity, the country of the people of Rome. We're going back to like A.D., or we're going way back before that, B.C. something, named Janus. And what used to happen was Janus was a two-headed demigod. I guess that's what they want to call it. And Janus had one face that faced backwards and another face that faced forward. And what would happen is when at the end of a certain period of time, they would pray to this so-called god Janus, and people looking back at where they used to be now start looking forward to what they is. The word Jan being the root word, here in Western civilization, we adopted the word January to talk about the month, calling January the first month of the year. And if you ever notice, New Year's Eve, December 31st, we're looking at what used to be. And when January 1st comes in, we're looking forward to what is. So that is where that has come from. The other thing is for the African slaves or those who were enslaved, there was an emancipation, and they had an anticipation of that particular day and time when they would be released totally and completely from slavery. So putting this together, and I'm not trying to do the whole thing, just enough so that you'll know where all this is, going back to the scriptures, we want to look at the word. It says, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled. The thing here is we tend to forget that regardless of what we say, regardless of what we come up with, regardless of what declarations we make or resolutions we make, we have to understand one thing. If it lines up with the word of God, it shall come to pass according to the faith that you are working in. And the other thing I want to make you understand that if God said it, you might as well settle it in your mind. It is what it is. Now, this is going to have a lot of parts and pieces to it. And tonight I want to just focus in on the fact that here we are in the year 2022. We didn't get to do the last Thursday of 2021. I want to look at each and every one of you and ask you, in your reflection of 2021, not that you want to look back if there was anything tragic that happened, but in your assessment of 2021, what are you looking forward to in 2022? Now, what I want you to do is hitch it up in this fashion with the word of God. If God said, for instance, but my God shall supply all of my need, what are you saying? I need somebody to open their mouth and talk to me. Let me start with the teacher himself, Apostle Vincent L. Smith. If God said it, that settles it. I'm living proof. Talk to me. What does that mean to you?
That means that I am the walking, breathing, talking experience of a God that does work. There's no way you can make me or cause me to doubt what he can do, because I've already experienced in his doing.
Amen. All right. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I'm gonna jostle it around. Apostle Whitlow, I'm going to hold you for dead last.
Sure. What's the question again? I'm sorry.
Put the work down. Shut the computer off. You are not on the job. You are on the radio podcast. Okay. 2021, looking back and hearing the word, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. What is it that you look forward to? What declarations have you made? I'm going to make it a little more edgy for you. What is it that you've made up in your mind that because God said it, that settles it? What comes to your mind?
Well, one of my things that I always do is self-development towards the end of the year. So I don't know if that's a resolution, but I don't believe in resolutions. So one of them is to continue giving God all of my heart, my soul, my might, and that the second goal is that people see the God in me. So that is my declaration every day, that I try to exemplify what God wants me to do, and I try to do that with the Holy Spirit. I want the Holy Spirit to be my compass, because I cannot do it by myself. I need him to help me along this way because I am still fighting with flesh on a daily basis. And so as I do that, I ask God for resources because we need things from God in order to complete his mission. So continue on giving me the activities of my limb, the knowledge that I need to maintain so that I can do the purpose that he has called me to do, which is go and spread the good news gospel. And everyone has their different ways. Some do it in singing, some do it in writing, some do it in preaching. I do it in podcasting. I love podcasting because, you know, podcasting is amazing because you're spreading the good news gospel on the web beyond different countries, and you don't know who you're touching. And so I ask God each day to allow the podcasting, the purpose that he has given me to be displayed. And if I could just touch one person along my way, then my life is not in vain. So that is what I live for. I don't live for the richest on earth. I mean, if God gives them to me, I will be grateful. But I live mainly for what God has done for me because I used to chase after those things. And yeah, the more I chased, you know, the less I became more happy. It didn't complete me. So back in 1998, God showed me what really completes me, and it's going after him. Don't get me wrong. I like those things, but those things don't have me, and they don't motivate me like God does. So every morning, my goal is to wake up every morning and just please God. Honestly, that is my main goal.
All right. And now with the second or the subtopic, and I'll get ready, Apostle Whitlow, because you're up next. With the subtopic, I'm living proof. Now, I'm going to put this to you again. I appreciate what you shared, but the question I'm asking is, what is that God has said that you have set in your mind that you are determined to do? I heard what you said. But now, when I'm asking on the subtopic, or let's put the subtopic, I'm living proof. Because if I'm adding too much, I hear somebody's got background noise. If I add I'm living proof, what is living proof of to me? I mean,
I'm living proof that God can save anybody. Because I was a person who really believed in that the gospel doesn't work. I believed in it's stupid to be nice to people who are mean to you. It's crazy to submit to something you don't feel. So he had to take me to my own personal Patmos. And as I was in that, you know, in that era, you know, trying to figure out why I'm in so much darkness, he allowed me to see that I need him. So my cancer, my domestic violence, that doesn't define me. My COVID doesn't define me. My identity is who I am because this body is going to die off anyway when I become older or whenever God chooses to, when God chooses me to come home to him. I'm not focusing on those things. I'm focused on who I am in the Lord, and I am a child of the Most High God. So no weapon formed against me shall prosper, and man may kill my body, but he cannot kill my soul. That is what I'm focusing on. So that's
you're living proof that God, that Jesus, is that what we can establish? Can we establish that? Yes?
You got it.
Not sure. All right. Apostle Whitlow.
Well, I'm not certain exactly where you want me to go from this point.
Your personal.
I'm going to go.
You know, maybe I'm not being clear tonight, and it's a possibility because I know I'm good at putting something out there, but I'm not always good at putting it out in a detailed fashion where it's easy to understand. The scripture said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Many times we hear what God's word says, but we tend to shift in a way whereby, although we know what the word says, we sort of kind of don't really fully take the word for what it says. Now, the second part of that is you are living proof that God's word is forever settled in heaven. I'm trying to get from you, show me how you're living proof that forever his word is settled in heaven. Maybe that's the way it's said it, huh?
I mean, the reality is that his word is settled and that I am proof that he can use anybody. I'm going to keep it as simple as that. I am proof that God can use anybody. And that's why I constantly say that I'm a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody, because I'm proof that God can use anybody. And all he was looking for was somebody who was just willing. So having been willing to do what he called me to do, I'm proof that if you just walk in obedience, that you will see the manifestation of everything he said. And I'll hang my hat right there.
All right. Reverend Dr. Montrell, can I get you the chance to be here? Montrell, are you there, bro? Okay, I think you're mute. Is he muted? No, not. I got him up already. He's up. All right. He's probably preoccupied. Well, listen, here I am in a nutshell.
Brother Rich. I can't hardly hear you because you keep going in and out. Brother Rich, let me ask a question, though.
Go ahead.
If this scripture says tonight, thy word is forever settled in heaven, why are we on the cross? Why are we on the earth praying for what's already settled?
And Zeke, I'm glad you went there, sir. I'm absolutely glad that you went there, because this is my question and my challenge to all under the sound of my voice. We, as I said earlier, often will make declarations, resolutions, and all this stuff. And God already told us to seek first his kingdom and all of its righteousness. All the things that we're running after from the materialistic standpoint, they've already been granted. We already have abundant life. Those who are saved, sanctified, fulfilled, fire baptized. I'm glad you asked that question. What is it that we're not understanding about God's word being settled in heaven? Did not God share? He said, now let's go to the beginning. Did we or did we not hear God say, or the triune God, the Godhead say, let us make man in our image and in our likeness? Isn't that a clue that the settled word in heaven would include those things that make up our spirit man or our spirit being? I'm just asking the question. Anybody? Well, y'all quiet tonight.
I think that the issue is that the being is settled in heaven is one thing. It has yet to be settled here on earth. And I really think that has become the issue, because when you look at the scripture, it tells us to believe in the Lord our God, so shall we be established. Established is the same as being settled. So the reality is that many of us, many people, should I say, have not allowed that settled word in heaven to become settled within them. That's why they're still asking God and questioning God for things that's already settled.
All right. I can agree with that.
I want to back you up. Not only what you said, I think traditionally, we have spent so much time trying to pray like Deacon Jones and Mother Fatlip and all the rest of them, who were just praying out of their head. But the scripture said tonight, thy word, O Lord, angels in heaven. So didn't he tell us in the New Testament, I believe it's in John 15, when we pray his will, he will grant us what we have prayed? I think one of the problems to us is that people have not taken the time to understand that his will is his word. And we're there praying like Grandma and Uncle Joe, and God told us to get in the word and pray his word back to him.
That he did.
Pray as it is in heaven. As it is in heaven, so let it be on earth. And we're too busy praying what the earth is doing instead of what the heaven says.
So can we establish the fact that what you're saying is we spend too much time on the problem and not the solution? I'm going to show you something. I said this for a reason, because we were in prayer last week, my heart went out when I heard an individual cry out before God, talking about they were tired of seeing and watching people die, and the human element does get tired. Let's just say that. But you know what I discovered? As you said, thy word, as it is on earth, as it is in praying the word, becomes the element. A lot of people can't pray the word because, A, number one, they're not that familiar with the word. They don't know what to say concerning the word. They don't know how to approach the throne. The Bible says, let us therefore come both to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And when we're praying in a time of need, it behooves us to be able to go to God and remind him of his word. Did not the scripture said God say his word would not return unto him void, but it would accomplish that which he sent it out to do and prosper in the thing whereunto it is sent? Did God not tell us in the book of Jeremiah to put him in remembrance of his word? So when we go to God in prayer, his settled word is already in front of him. We have the absolute right and authority to get in the face of God with his word and remind him of what he said with his word. Now, for the individual that can do that and knows how to do that, according to scripture, now you are in a position that you can turn around and tell somebody, God said he was going to supply my need according to his riches and glory. Now, I want to go, and I'm jumping around in different spots and places. It's an open discussion tonight, and I want to keep it in discussionary form because of the simple fact that we have to make people understand, beloved, everybody on this line, my panelists and those who are listening and watching, we've got to make people understand that you can go and get on your knees and go, oh, Lord, pretty please, Lord, you know the situation, Jesus, oh, Lord. And God is saying, well, what do you want? And you still down there, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, I know you hear me, Lord. We serve a God who is a God of specifics, and he has laid out in his word how to approach his throne, and known to us. He told us in, I believe it's Philippians 4:6, to be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Now let's go back and look at the ingredients. He said, be careful, be anxious for nothing. Don't be overly concerned. Don't be worried. Don't approach me like you say you're not sure if I'm going to answer you. Be careful for nothing. But in everything, the word everything means everything. Does it? Yes or no? Does everything mean everything? Again, I got silence. Come on, talk to me, y'all. Did I lose you guys? Hello.
I am here. I'm just listening to your wonderful comment, and I agree with everything that was said. And yes, when you ask God for anything with supplication, with a pure heart, He will grant those things to you if He thinks that you can handle them. We have to also remember that God only blesses what He thinks you can handle, because I'm still reminded that He would never place more on you than you can bear. That means blessings as well. So He takes you through progressive stages. I wanted to be a millionaire at the age of 22. The devil gave you the money, but God was like, no, you have to go through different stages to get to where you are. So sometimes His blessings can be an instant, and sometimes His blessing can be progressive. And so I trust what He's doing in my life, because He has never failed me yet. So supplication and prayer is very necessary when you're having a relationship with God, because we don't want to treat God like a sugar daddy. We want to treat Him like a heavenly daddy. And our heavenly daddy wants to talk to us every day, not when you just feel like talking to Him when you feel well, or you don't, or you, everything's going great. You have to go with the good and the bad in any relationship. So why not start with God, the Creator, who knows everything about you?
Amen. Anybody else? Did we lose everybody, Dr. Robinson?
No, everyone is here.
Yeah, I'm just a little baffled why they're so quiet.
I really believe this is a great topic, because God will supply all of your needs according to His riches and glory, and that's why His riches and glory. So the world's riches are different compared to what God's riches are. You still have others on. Yeah.
Now, do we have anybody different on? Other than the ones I've called out already?
Yes, everyone is unmuted.
Okay, I didn't ask you that. I said, is there anyone other than the ones that were already, Apostle Whitlow and Apostle Smith, is there anyone else beside them too?
Yes, that's what I said. Everyone is unmuted. I have a total of 20 calls, yeah.
Who else do we have on the line? Anybody have any comments that they'd like to add? I mean, if I can't get y'all to talk, I'm going to just go ahead and teach and call it a night. All right, so let's move forward then, since I can't get nobody but Dr. Kimmy Robinson to talk tonight. Folks, all we're simply saying is God's word, the unadulterated, uncompromised word of God, has always been a stabilizing point for each and everybody's life. A lot of times when we face trials, we face troubles, tribulations, persecutions, the enemy tries to get us in fear mode when we need to learn how to stay in faith mode. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God said it, my friend, that absolutely settles it. That's end of story. Nothing else need be added to it. Nothing else be connected to it. You take God completely at His word. I'll give you some examples. In the area of healing, it turns around, the Bible turns around and says that Jesus, number one, was wounded for our transgressions. Number two, wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. He said that the chastisement of our peace was upon His shoulders. And the word says, by His stripes, meaning the 39 lashes that went across His back, that opened Him up, that let the life blood of Jesus ooze out, by those 39 lashes, we are healed. 1 Peter 2:24 picks it up and says that we were healed. If we were, then we are. The settling of the word is the very fact that if God says you are healed, it is not for you to question it. It's not for you to challenge it. It's not for you to teeter-totter back and forth whether it's going to work or not. Your job is to walk by faith and not by sight, according to the word. Your job is to trust the Lord with all your heart and not lean to your own understanding. Your job is to to allow the Holy Spirit to guide through the Holy Spirit to order your steps in His Word. If the Word is actually settled in your life, I've got to take you someplace else. Many of us jump up in the morning and we run out the house, don't take no kind of time to pray. Don't ask for God's intervention in your day. We don't do any of that. We just run up because we're a little bit behind time because we stayed up too late the night before. We don't take time to get dressed. Spiritually speaking, we run out of the house butt-ball naked. Yeah, I said butt-ball naked because you failed to put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The word is absolute. If it tells you to turn around to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, it did not say teeter-totter. It did not say walk weakly. It didn't. I'm not talking E-E-K. I'm talking E-A-K-L-Y. The problem here is too many of us will hear the word, and we won't allow the word to permeate our spirit to the place and point where that word is now operating in our everyday life. Just like you said, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I too said I am going to be a millionaire. And I'm saying it to this day, I shall be a millionaire. I'm starting to prepare like I'm a millionaire, walk like I'm a millionaire, take care and be a good steward of finances like any millionaire would. If I ain't got for $50 in my pocket, I'm going to act like I got $50 million, not so I can put on an act or a show in front of anybody. I read what the word says. He says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in their heart, but believe that what they say shall come to pass, the Bible says, he shall have whatsoever he saying. And what I am simply saying on this given day and at this given time, that if God said it, that settles it. I'm moving forward in it, and you can't change my mind because I've already got a made-up mind that I believe the full report of the Lord. If God says I can have it, then it belongs to me. If God says I can do it, you can't convince me no other kind of way. Do I have anybody that can witness to what I just said?
I'm listening to you, and while I'm listening to you, I thought to myself that while God's word is forever settled, people are unsettled. And
yes, they
so
are.
It makes it hard for them to settle into something when they're unsettled within themselves. Because at the end of the day, people still think that God is a man. That's only because they have not discovered the truth about God. So the real challenge is to get people to discover that God is not a man. So he cannot be categorized as man. He cannot be criticized as man. He cannot be looked at as a man, because he's not. And there has to be a distinction between who God is, what God says, and man. See, because the thing about God is anything he says, he backs it up. I have said this for years, that God's word is his occupation. And so a lot of people don't understand that, because a lot of people are used to someone giving them some words, and those words, if you will, which are supposed to be promises, are broken. And so many people have this mindset that a promise is a comfort to a fool. Meaning they are in expectation that when someone makes a promise, it will not be kept. And so that's the mindset that people have, even when it comes to God. So when they come into the year, they're like, well, all of this happened last year, and God didn't do this. And this happened the last decade, and God didn't do that. So why should it be any different this year? Again, God's word is settled, but until people can settle into knowing who God is, they will still struggle with God's word.
I'm listening to you, Apostle, and I'm starting to ask the question in my mind, why on earth are they trying to compare their thought process to God's thought process? What is wrong with us that we're so busy trying to figure out why the word is not working for us? Why is it that we haven't figured out that the word works when we obey it, when we do it. I started to say something a few minutes ago, and I'm going to finish that sentence right here and right now. We're crying out to God to remove COVID-19, to cause the disease to go away. Yet God said in his word what he would do when we run into situations like COVID-19, like the bubonic plague when it was back in that day, like smallpox when it came. Did not 2 Chronicles 7:14 say, let's break this down, my people. It didn't say if one person. It says my people. To me, people is collective. That means there has to be a unified front that we present before Almighty God. If my people who are called by my name, not by Buddha's name, not by Confucius' name, not by Hare Krishna's name, not by Muhammad's name, but by my name, shall first and foremost, here, and I said this before, the antidote to watching COVID-19 go out the door. Here is the antidote to those of you that are listening by way of radio, and until you get to this point, COVID-19 and any other disease that might be looming the earth is going to be out there because of your disobedience, because of, and I'm going to say my disobedience as well, because we're all in this together. When we come to the point where we obey the word of God, knowing that the word is forever settled in heaven, this is when we're going to start seeing results. We don't see miracles, signs, and wonders because we don't believe the word. It says that my people will call by my name, so humble, bring yourself down. Get up off your high horse. Take your butt off your shoulders. Start recognizing and realizing whose you are. Never mind who you are. We're too busy trying to blow our own horn, and we walk into a room. Apostle Chief Potentate somebody has just showed up. I don't care. What does the word say? Who will call by my name shall humble themselves and then seek my face and pray. And it doesn't mean just any old kind of prayer. We're talking about number one, the prayer of repentance, the prayer of rededication, the prayer of adoration, the prayer of intercession. We can go on and on because there are other variations of prayer that need to be prayed, but my people have to pray and turn. Do a 360. Stop muddling in the mess and stop wallowing in sin and stop falling short because of some little weight that trips you up. But we should turn around and turn from our wicked ways. God said, this is what he said, then and only then will I hear from heaven. Then and only then will I heal the land. Now, there's the antidote right there. Oh, COVID-19. I wish COVID would go away. I wish COVID. Oh, God, we need you to take COVID. No, do what you're supposed to do. You want to see COVID dissipate? Do what you're supposed to do. The word says humble and pray. Go ahead.
I think the issue is this. You said something, two things. One, you said that God said. The problem is that people, again, have misconstrued what God, because we live in a world where there are many gods. This is a problem, because you said, that God said is my people, the word of God said is my people who are called by my name. You said not Buddha, not Confucius, or not Muhammad, or someone else. Well, here's the reality. Again, because there are so many gods, people do not know the true living God. So if you don't know the true living God, you cannot establish the validity of what has been said, because you're thinking that maybe you're Confucius, or maybe Buddha, or maybe Singh, or maybe this one, or maybe that one has made the decree and the declaration, and that's what you're depending on. But until you understand that it's only the one true living God, who we call Jehovah, who we call Yahweh, who we call the Christ, the Jesus the Christ. If we do not come to that reality that is the true living God,
then again, there's going to be an issue trying to establish how to distinguish what God said. Then coming together is another thing, because you can't, in today's time, you can't come together without folk fighting one another or killing one another because they don't like one another because of the content of their skin. These are little things that are standing in the way of really experiencing what God wants us to experience when we know who he really is.
Okay. Anybody else?
I think, Brother Rich, I think we're missing two major statements in the scripture.
Uh-huh.
Forever, O Lord, O Lord, O Lord, thy word is forever settled. We're missing the fact that it says, O Lord in heaven. And
okay.
In between O Lord in heaven, we're not mentioned.
Uh-huh. Continue.
There is nothing in that verse that mentions us being believed, and there's nothing in that verse that includes us having to become into it. Really says to us, the word is the Lord. He created it. The word is in the heaven. And so what it says is that I don't need you to catch up with the word. The word is the word. What you
That's
need it. To do is just flat face believe it. And
uh-huh.
I'm trying to be earthly. Come on up into heaven. That's where the word is.
Well, see, an apostle.
Did not the scriptures tell us?
Uh-huh.
He said, come on up to the heavens and stop dealing with the earth where rust and moth can corrupt. He said,
come on
up in another element. That's the problem right there, man of God. That's the problem. We got too many spirit beings trying to be earthly.
Well, and see, think about this. I agree with what you just said wholeheartedly. We are spirit beings trying to live in an earthly realm, but we twisted that thing, like you just said. We don't recognize that spirit beings don't have to fit the natural. The natural has to fit the spirit. God's been trying to put super in our natural for as long as we've been in an existence as man, trying to restore what we once were in Adam before we fell. But because our carnality, the carnality of our mind, because our ideologies, because of our theologies, because of our mindset, we will think the negative faster than we will think the positive. Unfortunately, that's the mindset, not just of the world, but the church has a mindset. You know, faith, the Bible says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, but yet church folk will say, I'll believe it when I see it. That is not the faith that God has placed within us. That is the practice of a man who's trying to sell us on an idea that if we see it, then we have every right to believe it. And that's just as wrong as two left shoes bent to the right. We got to get out of our own mind, get out of our own way, get out of our own thought processes, throw all our crap and our junk and our stinking thinking in the trash. Let's say what the word says. If the word says I am healed, say that. If the word says that I am the head and not the word says I'm above and not beneath, say that. If the word says I am the seed of Abraham, say that. Never mind. And I like what you said earlier, Apostle Whitlow. You made mention of something that I'm coming back to remember, son. The Williams brothers wrote a song years ago, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. First and foremost, my friend, you are not a nobody. You're the apple of God's eye. You are more than a conqueror. You've been accepted in the beloved. You are seated in heavenly places. Nobody's can't be in those functions, and nobody's can't walk in that realm. So what we have to learn how to do is not allow our mouths to trap us. Many of us are trapped by the word. We're snared by the words of our mouth. We fail to realize that death and life are in the power of our tongue, and those who love the fruit shall eat thereof. You speak negativity, you're going to walk in negativity. You start believing negativity, and what happens to you eventually is you find yourself subconsciously operating in negativity. And I'm not trying to make nobody super spiritual. I'm trying to show you how to get out of your stinking thinking. I like what Paul says when the Romans, to the church at Rome in verse 2 of chapter 12. Be ye therefore and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. If the word is forever settled, if the word of God is settled in your mind, you have to start a transformation process. Lose the stinking thinking and the ways of this world and start studying, how does God speak? What does God say? How does God act and or react to any situation, to any circumstance? Am I making sense around here, somebody? I'm just wondering. It's open to whoever wants to talk.
I mean, you're really talking good, David. You're really talking good. And I don't think there's anything that you can really add to it, because you've made it very clear. You've made it very clear. So this is some good stuff. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, and I'm this way because over the days, weeks, and months, I've heard people say too. Now, I do want to say this too, because we have a bad habit of trying to get super spiritual at a time when we just need to be relaxed in who we are. Every word that comes out of your mouth, it can either be faith-based or it can just be idle. What do I mean by that? I mean simply this. Sometimes you could say something just to say it for the sake of saying it. There's no faith in it. It's an idle word. It's just idle. It's just there. It ain't going anywhere because there's nothing to propel it. Do you not realize that faith can propel you positive? And fear can propel you negative. All right, I'll show you what I'm talking about. You feel a sniffle, and you feel a light, scratchy throat. I believe I'm getting a cold. Uh-huh. You realize you just opened the door for cold to attack you? I'm just saying. I'm just saying. Anyway.
I'm just saying that's true.
Yeah. No, I'm just using this as an example, because when you turn around and speak in a negative form, your mouth has now imprisoned you. Your mouth has now ensnared you with the words that you have spoken. Faith is a two-sided function. For years, we've always believed that faith only had one side. We always thought faith was just positive. Faith is both positive and negative, depending upon how you use it. We've got to learn how to use faith in the positive, because the enemy is always looking for an opportunity to put faith to use in the negative. You can go back to the story of Job. Job, in fear, not in reverence to God, but was afraid that his children were sinning against God, and so Job would offer up offerings and burnt offerings to God on behalf of his children. And he would probably pray, I fear that my children may be dishonoring you. I fear that my children may be disrespecting you. You know, and I don't know exactly how Job said it word for word, verbatim, but go back and read the book of Job. Job even said on one occasion, the very thing that I feared has now come upon me. And Job had to go back and cancel his words. And the minute Job canceled his word, you see everything started turning positive for him. There are so many different examples of where we have spoken in fear. I mean, I could turn here and say this. Listen to this. I'm going to sit here and say this. I believe I'm going to have 1 million oil wells. All right, Whitlow, last time you saw me, did I have an oil well?
No, sir.
Smith, last time I saw you, did it look like I smelled like oil or something? Hey, don't get funny, Smith. I will jump to this phone on you. But really, my point is...
I was just going to say you look oily, but I don't think you had a well.
Ooh, did he say I look oily? Dr. Kimmy Kim, the last time I saw you, did I look like I had money running out my pockets from the barrels of oil I sold? What I'm trying to make you understand, beloved, is this. You're snaring your own self with the words. When you speak in a negative sense, you are literally putting yourself in jeopardy of giving your blessing away. How do you think Satan was able to rob Adam? He went through Eve and got Eve to doubt or cast doubt upon what God said. Now, we said forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Now, he said, Satan turns around and comes to Eve and says, yay or yeah, did God really say that? Yea, hath God said? Eve doubted the word of God. And because Eve doubted the word, Eve started looking at a tree that Eve shouldn't even been near. Eve starts looking at a tree she should have never touched. Eve starts looking at a tree and starts desiring something that God told her to stay away from. Now, it would have been too easy for God to put angels with flames of fire or flaming angels around that tree, and Eve would have never gotten to that tree. But God gave us the power of choice. When he made us in his image and in his likeness, he also gave us the ability to choose. And Eve chose to go and to pick fruit. Nothing happened while she ate, but the very second she gave it to her husband, Adam, man now falls into a sinful state. Now, I'm going to show you something else that we probably didn't pay attention to. Now, you Bible scholars, pay attention to what I'm about to say here. Even though Eve ate of the fruit first, why do you think in this day and age a lot of men think women are more intelligent than men? It was the tree of the knowledge of both good and evil. It was a tree of knowledge. She bit into it. And it may not have been actual fruit. It may have been some other entity, but he bit into that fruit, and then she decided to give to her husband. So she was the first partaker of knowledge that we should not have been privileged to. And now God turns around and curses her and tells her she's going to have children in pain, and her desire is going to always be to her husband, not that she's going to serve him hand and foot. She's going to always be in a manipulative state. She's always going to try to find ways to outfox her husband. She's going to always try to look for ways to get around her husband. And what do we find in a lot of instances? You want to go through the scripture and prove me wrong? I'm going to take you right to my man Jacob. Let's go back when Jacob's sons, let me go back a little bit to Isaac. When Isaac got older, who was it that helped Jacob to get the birthright? Was it not his mother? Your Honor, I rest my case. Anybody got anything they want to add? Welcome, Facebook Live. Thank you for coming in. This is the Pastor's Corner. Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard Jr., we're having a discussion tonight based on scripture found in Psalm 119, which says, and forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven, and also out of Philippians 4, which says, my God shall supply all of my need according to his riches in glory. Our topic tonight, if God said it, that settles it. And our subtopic is, I'm living proof. Gentlemen, lady, Kimmy Kim, anything? Go ahead.
I want to say this. In that offer to Eve, not only did she bite knowledge, but the offer, see, we got to watch this. The offer of Satan was, surely you're not going to die. You're going to be as wise as God.
Uh-huh.
And here's where Satan is slick in his offer to many that fall for it.
Uh-huh.
He know what wants. And he offers it in a way that it looks pleasing to you. Because for some reason, he was not satisfied where she was. When you read other translations of this text, he made her offer that when you eat this, you're going to be smarter.
That's what he was alluding to. Now, my question and challenge to Eve is, why would you want to be smarter than the one that created you? See, this is where we get into...
I don't really think she wants to be smarter. She wants to be first partaker, because then she turns, give that same knowledge to her husband. I think her thing was, through the conversation, she said, I'm going to get this knowledge first. Even still now, they say that a woman or a little girl's brain
develops faster.
Matures in thinking much faster than a man. She's ahead in her thinking.
She is.
And I believe that happened because of the taking of the fruit first. It made her receive a quicker way to knowledge than the man.
Amen.
But at the same time, we see that even though she got the knowledge quicker, she understood that that could not process in her computer until man pushed the button.
Exactly. But see, and there's one thing, if I can say anything positive about that whole thing, not that there was anything positive, and let me say welcome, Bishop Jefferson, JTA Church out there in Indianapolis, Indiana. So nice to have you in the room, sir. He's with us on Facebook Live. Apostles Whitlow and Smith, say hi to Bishop Jefferson.
Bless you, man.
Bishop, the Lord.
All right. The Lord bless you. But look at, let, and see, we're still talking about the word forever being settled in heaven. This was settled in eternity past. This is way before Eve even did the madness that she did and before Adam followed behind Eve. All this was settled. The word has been settled in eternity past. And so what we are stressing tonight is whoever you are, wherever you are listening to us from, we need you to begin to hear what thus saith the word. If the word is encouraging you to repent, repent. There was a great discussion this past Tuesday on The Voice, and I'm not going to expose all the details. I will say this to you. Join us next Tuesday, and you'll catch up on that discussion. There's a discussion concerning principles of marriage coming up this coming Saturday at 10 o'clock. I'm not going to divulge anything to you because I don't know what Apostle Whitlow might talk about. I do know this. If you want to know, be there. You're going to have to listen. I am not going to press and push too much harder because this is just a jump off. We might come back to this next week. We may come back with a new topic. The main thing, if I can leave any one thing with you good people, wherever you are listening to us, this is the one thing I want to leave with you. If God said it, whatever that it is for you, it might be healing, it might be in your finances, it might be in your status, your stratosphere, no matter what it is, if God said it, in his word, let it be settled in your mind. God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should have to repent. If God said a thing, it shall be established. Now, I think that is Larry Dress. He says, so all the women of the world have to suffer in childbirth because of Eve. That's exactly right, sir. All the women of the world, from the time man fell back in the garden, every woman that bears a child has. But here's the amazing thing. God does not allow that pain to sustain. That pain comes testing of that child, if the child is birthed in an actual through the canal. If a woman has a C-section, there's still a level of pain because she has to be stitched up. The point is, once that child is born, it's an amazing thing how that pain and all that pushing and all that pressure just basically leaves their mind as they're coddling that little infant in their arms. Does anybody find that amazing? But God told Eve what was going to happen. He cursed him, but he didn't curse him. He pronounced a curse upon Adam. He would till the ground. That's why men work as hard as they do. He turned around and told Eve that she would have pain in childbirth. Can you imagine if Eve had had her children and there was no pain whatsoever? She just pop them out. That would have been nice. Most women would have loved to have done that. And did anybody ever notice this?
But you know what? In that scripture you just gave, that also is proof that his anger only endures but for a moment.
That's right.
That labor pain is a reminder of her transgression.
Uh-huh.
He don't let that reminder last for another 9 months. As you just said, he let it last while she is pushing. Oh my God. When she pushed through the pain.
Mm-hmm.
You can have something with the pain, but after you have it, I want you to know it's just like sin. Sin is painful. But when you are birthed into Christ, you come out of pain.
I can't
understand why we keep praying after the Lord to forgive us from sin, to forgive us from sin. We've already been brought out of sin.
Uh-huh.
The pain is over.
There you go. Say it.
I'm going to say what I said the other night. For the believer, the prayer is not, Lord, forgive us of our sins. The Bible says if we sin, as in our sins are forgiven for the unbeliever. Now,
right.
If you're a believer and got sins, I'm sad to tell you, but the word is settled. You're still an unbeliever.
Amen.
According to the word. Talk about me now.
No, that's according to the word. Now, as we get ready to close, because it's about that time, it's about 20 after the hour, and we're going to wind this down, and I really want to drive that point home. How rooted and grounded are you in the word and the truth of the word? How much do you believe God? Or let's go one step further. How much do you trust God? I can't answer that for nobody on this line. I can't answer that for nobody listening by way of radio. I cannot answer that for nobody on TikTok. I can't answer that for nobody in Clubhouse or Facebook Live. I can't answer it for you. I can only answer that for me. And you know what? There's a saying that we have in the earth realm. The proof is in the pudding. Everybody knows what that means. If I trust God the way I want you to believe that I trust God, then the proof is in the pudding. I'm going to allow him, and my yes is going to allow him to do what he needs to do in me so that the manifested blessing that he wants to bring to me can be made known. I would prefer you turn around and look at me and say, you know, there is something about you that's very different these days. It seems like there's a confidence about you. I saw you go through this, and I saw you go through that, and you did not even flinch. Now, I'm going to share something with you people. I picked up a load this past Tuesday to come down into North and South Carolina to deliver this load. You guys know the last stop on this load is still on this truck. I should have been finished yesterday. Now, it would have been just too easy for me to get in my flesh. I had to have a heavy debate with one of the team leaders on my second stop. because I sat in their doorway. I pulled up at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm going somewhere with this, so y'all stay with me for a minute. I pulled up into the facility at 5 o'clock in the morning. Do you know them people did not unload my truck till 11 o'clock that morning? Now, I know they had a lot of people, but I'd like to believe, and I'm going to stick to my guns on this, I could be dead wrong, and I could be right, I could be right like never before. I honestly believe that my faith had been tested and tried in that time period because I wanted to go in there and get them people a piece of my mind. I wanted to tell somebody, not cuss them out, because I don't do profanity, not like that. But anyway, I wanted to tell somebody off because I was sick of this game they were playing. And really, it's politics. The sad part is what these individuals don't realize that whatsoever a man soweth, that shall they also reap. And I said that in correlation to what we were talking about tonight. Those individuals that deliberately held up unloading my truck, that did it on purpose, it's coming back to them sevenfold. And because I am the Lord's anointed, and because I'm the apple of God's eye, and because I'm a child of the Most High, they're going to experience a sevenfold. Yes, I said it. They're going to experience worse, seven times worse than what I had to go through. So if I had to sit for 5 hours and wait for them to unload my truck, frustrated, wanting to get to my last stop so that I can make my way home, guess what? Payday's coming. I promise you. I'm going to leave that alone. That ain't for me. That's for God to handle. My job is to keep preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I could flip that and turn around and say this. Maybe I should have kept my behind home and not gotten the truck to begin with. And maybe I wouldn't have gone through that had I stayed home. We can say that too. Let's do this. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, I need to hear from you. Closing remarks. God said it. That settles it. I'm living proof. Closing remarks. Come on. Wake up. Unmute your mic.
All I can say is this has been a really great discussion, and I'm looking forward to what God is going to do next in the pastor's corner. This is year, I think, number 7 for me, I think, and it's been a journey, and we've come across some great information. So thank God for another year. We're in anticipation of something even greater. But in the meantime, God has said it. It is settled. And I'm going to leave it right there.
Amen. Apostle Smith.
There's a tree in your path. Before you eat, make sure the fruit is the right thing to intake. The Lord bless y'all.
All right. Kimmy Kim, did you find the mute button and turn it off?
Yes, I was talking. I just want to say great discussion and continue on trusting in the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall. That's the promise. He shall direct your path. Trust God.
Amen. You heard me say earlier, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Some of you are listening to us right now, and you believe it, and then there are those of you that still don't believe it. You can put it to the challenge anytime you get ready, and if God decides to allow you to live what you say to a certain degree, you can come back and tell us about it. In the meantime, there are some of you out there who don't know Jesus Christ and the pardoning of your sins. I need you to understand that the word is forever settled. God clearly told us in the book of Romans, chapter 10 and verse 9, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, or verse 10, excuse me, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you would be saved. That word is forever settled. If you obey the word of the living God and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, the Bible said it. Bishop-elect didn't say it. Dr. Robinson didn't say it. Apostle Smith didn't say it. Apostle Whitlow did not say it. God said, you shall be saved.
won't you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life today? And let me help you out with something, folks. Don't think that you got to be perfect before you come to salvation, because if we had to be perfect, Jesus would not have had to die. Some of you have said to yourself, well, when I get myself together, the problem here is you're never going to get yourself together. You're never going to get yourself. You are never going to get yourself together. And there's a reason for that. It's that thing called sin. It's those things called weights, those things that beset you and keep you from landing in the everlasting arms of the living God. There's a simple prayer we could pray with you right here, right now. All it takes is mustard seed faith, the simplest form of faith. Do you believe that God can save your life? If you believe that, simply say, Dear God in heaven, I come before you. I believe that you want me in your family. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I'm asking Jesus now to be the Lord of my life. By faith, according to your word, I'm receiving and accepting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. Now, live in me, Lord. Teach me how to live for you. Train me how to walk in righteousness. I can't do this by myself. I need you to show me how to do this. By faith, I thank you for helping me to grow, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for my flesh. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. We bless God for each and every one of you. I do want to close in my closing statement, and I want to make this one comment, that as you allow the Spirit of God to walk in you, live in you, to train you, and put you in a position where you can see the evidence and the manifested fruit that comes with this life, I guarantee you the more you trust the Word of God, the more you walk in the Word of God, the more you're going to see the miracles, signs, and wonders that can only come from God. I'm Bishop-elect Ernest E. Richard, Jr. Thank you for your time. I believe that we've gotten the message across. I want to thank my guests, Apostle Vincent L. Smith, Apostle Irvin Whitlow, Dr. Kimmy Robinson, and those who are on the line just listening, not wanting to say anything. Thank you also for being there. We bless God for every one of you. We look for you to come back and join us this next Thursday at this same time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, as we continue our discussions in the Pastor's Corner. Have a great night. Dr. Kimmy Robinson, please close us out with a song. Thank you, everyone. Thank you,
Captain.
You
yourself
to be with
me
and desire to work with me. I pray.
How did I make it?
To come on.
All these years.
Podcast,
how did I make it this far?
Around the world. So thank you for being part of the podcast.
Through the valley.
Love the Lord.
And all
I am going to
hills.
At this particular time,
I know it had to be God.
I've got to lay my body down.
How did I make it
through
the storm? How did I make it through the rain?
Because I've got to start doing early morning prayer again. So when I get up, if you're up around 6 o'clock,
if you
want to know, or if you're up around 5 o'clock,
just how I got here. It's so easy to explain. It was God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace.
God's grace.
It was God's grace. It was God's grace.
God's grace.
I made it this far.
I made it this far.
By the grace of God.
Amazing
grace.
thank you for how you brought me, how you brought me through the night. Lord, you kept me and you never left me. You stood by my side. There were so many times when I came so close. Old man Death, he tried to take me in. So the reason I'm here is not hard for me to see. In fact, it's so easy for me to explain. It was God's way. When I strayed away, even though I knew the word, still I would obey. But God's mercy and His grace stayed with me and brought me all the way. Thank you, right now, Jesus.